Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much. I have a handsome set of slides here which take you through very, very carefully all of the responsibilities which the national team have around tackling health inequalities and promoting inequalities. Excuse that, me being even deeper voice than usual. But talking to colleagues last night from the conference organisers, it was felt that what I should do is kind of fairly rapidly canter through that and then really try to add to the panel discussion and get some feedback from the audience. So that's more of the purpose of this session. So just to say that, I know a number of you met this morning with members of my team and were taken through some of the detail about how we in the national team are looking at supporting the NHS and NHS England, the wider NHS, to meet legal duties in tackling health inequalities, including the Commissioner Assembly Health Inequalities Working Group, and their role in promoting primary care modelling, which will support good health services and good healthcare for homeless and vulnerable people, including the equality delivery system, which actually helps provide us to do so, and including a range of actions around aligning and producing appropriate data through which we can actually start to monitor and measure progress, as was talked about yesterday, measures for system alignment, incentives and levers and leadership. And team are here this morning to take any questions about the detail of that. But what I'm keen to do is to just talk about the beginning of... We heard yesterday about increased vulnerability to homelessness in times of economic downturn. We had an analysis of past financial crises and the different responses that we've seen to that. So ranging from the deep and damaging cuts scenario to a more nuanced response. So we had the Greece-Iceland comparison. We had really the example of Nye Bevan, who, in a time of austerity, put the welfare of the most vulnerable first and established the NHS, paved the way for the welfare state. And I think yesterday was really helpful in terms of actually indicating that a financial disaster doesn't have to become a full-blown human disaster. And I think if we do anything from this conference, it's about us taking away that message and taking responsibility ourselves for being heard on this topic. We talked a little bit about the importance yesterday in a number of presentations about improving both the health of the most disadvantaged the fastest, but also about taking a social gradient approach. And that's obviously key to the work of my team. And we heard lots about how long-term homelessness is characterised by really severe mental ill health, physical ill health, drug and alcohol misuse, really complex health needs and early death. And I think the academic label put on that is trimorbidity, which sounds in itself quite daunting, doesn't it? And we also heard a lot about how the healthcare system too often fails the homeless and how there are initiatives like the Hospital Homeless Discharge Fund, £10 million worth of funding, which is actually looking at modelling to address this situation. And that's one of the key roles of the team nationally, is to actually distill some of that modelling and good practice, both for exemplars and case studies, but more importantly, back into the primary care commissioning system that we're closest to, and that's one of our priorities. And we heard quite a lot about the poor experience of health service provision for the vulnerable and the homeless. And we also did hear about some excellent models. And so we heard about Housing First. We heard about Deep End recommendations from Scotland. And we had a whole range of good practice outlined to us, from Pathways to Urban Village, York Street, Bevan Healthcare, Luther Street, and so on. And by making that list, I've made a fatal mistake, because I'm going to miss out some key organisations and projects. But that is on the slides, which you can have a look at later. Importantly, FIANSA, and I don't know whether you actually pronounce the acronym that way, but the European colleague who was with us talked about the deficiency of homelessness and migration policies which result in homelessness. And I think it's really important for us to look at the fact that not only are we looking at that resulting in poor healthcare, we're looking at it resulting in the removal of healthcare for a significant number of the homeless population, and that's the people who we label illegals or we label failed asylum seekers, often really faulty labels that actually are very incorrect, because the term illegals often covers a lot of people who have perhaps had their asylum case considered as failed. But it's been recognised that it's not safe to remove them back to their country of origin. And so, therefore, they can't leave. They're not illegally here, but they don't have full refugee rights. And they actually live on £35 voucher a week. They have no money for transport. And although we did hear from the minister that there's no legal imperative to actually block them from primary care, that is happening systematically. And at the NHS Expo, we heard 30 to 40 failed asylum seekers talking about this and saying that they were systematically refused access to primary care. We heard cases of people dying because they were refused access and leaving two little children into the care of the local authority here. And I just want to really talk about, just refers back to both what Fiancha said, which was the decline of public opinion towards the vulnerable in the last few years, as really indicating, illustrating this. But also what Julian said yesterday about us starting to move away from the case management and the risk approach. So he was advocating risk-taking rather than risk management. He talked about the case management approach and said, if you get a service and you don't manage to turn up to it, too bad. If we identify a need, but there isn't a service to meet that need, too bad. And I'd add to that list, if you've been labelled unhelpfully as an illegal or a failed asylum seeker or a complex case who, for whatever reasons, don't fit into one of the existing services, too bad. And I think it's imperative on us today to bear witness to these examples and to actually challenge, as Julian said, the professional culture and the systems and the rules and the provision of healthcare that is quite closed, and actually to call on ourselves to do that. And I think bearing witness was raised as an issue yesterday, and I think that's for all of us to do, because it's too easy to fall into that kind of hierarchising the homeless into the more deserving and the less deserving, those that fit into our existing systems and those that don't. So if I think it's one thing we'll take away from here is that I'd like, is to kind of talk really openly and honestly about some of the challenges that brings. And certainly that's something that nationally I'll be pushing through the systems that we have in terms of primary care modelling, in terms of incentives and levers, in terms of the work we're doing in the Commissioning Assembly Group. But I think, we've got the people here who will actually make the difference, and that's what I think we're about here today. Thank you.